Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing us with your friends and family. We're well over a million listeners here in the United States. We have well over a quarter million going overseas. We're expanding, and we have you to thank for that. But today, we've got some really interesting, you know what, it's interesting how people just kind of set things away and don't realize how much things are really worth. So take, for example, take a look at your jewelry drawer. What if what's sitting there is worth a lot more than you think? New data shows Americans are unknowingly sitting on hundreds of billions of dollars in gold jewelry. And now artificial intelligence is making it possible to find out what's really worth in minutes. Join us today. Hey, you know what? We have Unvault co-founder Nidhi Singhvi. She's here to explain everything to us, talk about it, help us understand. Nidhi, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Such a pleasure.
Now, let's kind of get started with this. I got to ask, everybody loves to know, yeah. How did you get started and how did you become the co-founder of Unvault?
Steve, just going back to a few years, I grew up in India, and in India, I saw gold as a source of wealth, source of power, right? So Unvault is basically a product of our lived experiences. Fast forward, I started my career at McKinsey & Company and then went into a hedge fund covering currencies and built an options trading desk for crypto. So my life has evolved in multiple asset classes. And for me, it always came back to gold, where the financial infrastructure is just missing. As you mentioned, people are keeping these assets in their drawers and they don't really know what the value is.
Okay. So let's, I know you've told you about yourself, but I don't think people really truly understand the big picture here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what's actually sitting in Americans' drawers. Yeah. And it was interesting because when I first saw this, my mom's 89. So, you know what, we were talking about, she goes, oh yeah, I've been wearing that stuff for years. This was given to me back in this day. Yeah. I found out we had a rose gold watch from like 1910 that was given by a grandma and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just not in fashion right now.
Exactly. So, Stevie recently published a report called the Jewelry Drawer Index. It was also quoted in Bloomberg. It basically says there's $750 billion of gold in American homes, in drawers. People own this in the form of mostly jewelry and then some gold watches. The biggest thing that we found out, Steve, is that people, like two-thirds of people, they don't know the value of it. So that's the biggest, I think, takeaway here, that not only people own this much, but they also don't understand and appreciate the value of it.
So, you know, they kind of begs to the next question. If they don't appreciate the value or know the value. So why are people so far off when it comes to estimating what their jewelry's worth? It might be just the fact that it sits in the drawer and they don't think about it.
That's exactly right. Like the gold price wave is changing that though. So in the last 6 months, we are all reading headlines of gold at all-time high, you know, dollar is doing its thing. So everyone is getting more and more aware, which we think is great, right? Like people are now asking the right questions. So, okay, what is my jewelry worth? And that's where Unvault comes in. We tell you the value of your jewelry using some photos and help you put a dollar value to your jewelry box.
Oh, okay. So I can understand that because just a few months ago, gold was like $5,600 an ounce. And now it's probably around $4,300 to $4,500 an ounce, usually a little bit lower. But if you go back like a year, it was only like $2,500 an ounce.
Exactly.
So it's almost, you know, 80 to 90, maybe 100, depending on when you got it, 100% more than where it was just a little over a year ago.
And for your mom, it's like 20 times, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we're tracking other things. We're tracking our real estate. We're tracking our car. But there is no way to know the value and then actually track it. To your point, gold has appreciated over 100% in a year or so. But we have not done that math for our jewelry and for, like, you know, everything that we own. So that's where, again, that's where we come in.
So if you're sitting there listening to us, this would be a great time to open up that jewelry box or that drawer or whatever, and just look at the stuff that you haven't worn in a long time. You know,
exactly.
How to put it. I thought it was really interesting because one of our viewers had a real. She goes, you know what? I was thinking about this,
yeah.
And if I'm, you know, I need to take a look at my jewelry that's sitting in my jewelry box. Just like I would like a shirt I haven't worn in 3 years. Hey, I can go donate it or give it to or sell it at a garage sale. But the big difference, it's gold jewelry. So it's worth a little bit more. And I should look at getting as much as I can for it. So when we start looking at that, you know what? You're going to have to take some time to walk us through how AI can actually value jewelry from just a photo in a very short period of time.
Yeah. So Steve, what we've built a database of a lot of jewelry in the world. So what we can do now very, very well is take a photo of your jewelry, understand how it's made using AI, and then break it down into different components and provide a price for you. So for gold jewelry, for gold only jewelry, Unvault can get you a very good answer quickly if you are able to take, you know, photos with a reference point. For diamonds and emeralds and gemstones, we're getting much better with time. So by the end of the year, you can expect Unvault to be like source of truth for all forms of jewelry. But right now, we're pretty good on gold and silver jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it as like it's for you. It's your portfolio, right? So when you track your car in Carvana, you have to give it the VIN number. You have to say, report how the condition of the car is. And it's yours. The portfolio is for you to know, track the value of the car. Similarly, Unvault is for you, for your jewelry. As much information as you can give it, the portfolio will give you a better answer and better view of your drawer. And again, if you want to sell it, you can also sell it to us, Steve.
Okay.
So, you know, as you mentioned, the viewer's example, when you actually decide to sell jewelry, the experience can be fairly icky, depending on where you go. Local jeweler, pawn shop, cash for gold. It's not a very upscale experience or even like a normal experience. So Unvault comes in and solves for that as well. You do it from home. We give you full transparency. We send you the authentication video of your jewelry so you know exactly where we authenticated, how we authenticated it.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives you more control over the process, basically.
So let's talk about that. So basically, somebody takes a photo of their jewelry. Let's say they've got a gold necklace and they take a shot of the jewelry. I'm going to assume they upload it. Is that correct?
That's right. It's a web app, so it's very seamless.
Okay, so they upload it. And then AI is used to evaluate that gold chain or necklace. You know what? How do they tell if it's 12, 14, 24 karat, that type of thing?
So there's mostly hallmarks in jewelry. And if you can take a photo of the hallmark, our AI can read that as well. So the etchings on jewelry that they actually correspond to the purity. So this my ring says 750. that means it's 18 karat gold. So if you just take photos, we are intelligent, like our model is intelligent enough to read it. But if you don't know, there will be some guided points for you, right? Like most jewelry in America is around 14 karat, or like look at the color of the jewelry to make a better decision.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody has rose gold or white gold, that is shown in the mark itself?
So rose gold, white gold will be just the color. It does not matter, actually. It's all the same price. But we have those options. You can choose it just in case, you know, you want to provide that information. But just for all the listeners, rose gold, white gold, yellow gold, they're all the same price. It does not matter.
Okay, so in other words,
the value doesn't change.
If the value of gold is $4,500 an ounce, it's white gold, it's rose
exactly.
gold, it's the same thing. Okay,
exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I want to thank you for joining us. We're right back here. You know what? We've got a wonderful interview going on right now. And you know what? We have Nidhi Singhvi. She's the co-founder of Unvault. And we're talking about valuing your jewelry. Now, one of the big things that many of you wanted to know about is what is the biggest mistakes people are making with their jewelry when it comes to having it valued, whether you go to a pawn shop, a retail shop at the store, at the mall, and, you know, somebody like Unvault.
Yeah. I think I'll start off with when people get an appraisal. Appraisals are great, right? Appraisals are great to get insurance. But I think people normally confuse appraisal value as the resale value.
Mm-hmm.
Appraisal values are supposed to be the retail value plus, because what the appraiser wants is that if you lose the piece, you're able to buy the piece again, right? Resale value is basically lower because it does not take into account the margin of the retailer. So mm-hmm. I think when a lot of people come in and they're like, oh, I bought this ring for $10,000, the resale value of that ring is different. And I think my second point as well, Steve, people overestimate the value of their diamonds and they really underestimate their gold. So we see people thinking, oh, this gold should be like $100 necklace. It's actually like $400. And then they think that their ring is $10,000, but it is actually like $6,000. So I think the diamond campaign has been so extreme in the last few decades. That mm-hmm. diamond is forever. I think that is our biggest learning of operating on world now. It's just the markups in diamond industries are so high that it is very hard to bridge that gap.
Yeah, I can understand that because I the amount that people pay for diamonds, and then when you have them, somebody do the purity and the quality and the clarity and all that kind of stuff, they realize it's like, hey. It's you just overpaid, and you know that's one of the reasons why appraisals are so high, because they're typically done by somebody that sells it to you for insurance purposes, but quite frankly nobody's ever going to pay for that if they're going to buy it from you. So
I mean, Steve, can I just have you say this next time?
Well, you know what, I've seen
you said
that
it beautifully.
People. I've seen that, and I've kind of known that for years. In fact, there was a gentleman that I got my mom a diamond, but he was out of the diamond markets in New York City. And he just basically, a guy from Europe. And he just said, Stevie, it doesn't work like that. He goes, I'm going to be very candid. We make 30% on this because you're a friend of a friend of a friend. We're doing it like this. And quite frankly, you can probably go and look at a store and say, we paid a lot more for this, or we could have paid a lot more for it, but nobody's going to buy it from you for that. It's like, okay. So you just gave me the 10-4 on it. So I totally understand that. And I've had people, when they're looking to sell the diamond rings and stuff like that, thinking the diamond's worth a ton. And the reality is, you know, you're being nice. I think you're being nice. It's a $10,000 diamond, but it's actually like a $4,000 or $5,000 diamond, because some people's markups are a lot more than others. A
lot more.
Especially if they went to retail.
Yes. Like average markups are 3X.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bought it from a very fancy store, oh God.
Could be as much as 80%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that would be the biggest, I think. The other thing is just like ask questions. I mean, you don't have to sell with us, sell with someone else, but just ask questions. Know the value of gold. If they're offering you something, just ask them why. Mm-hmm. Because we have seen in our experience that when you ask why, they'll be like, oh, okay, maybe we'll give you a little bit more because they're making so much money there. For us, Unvault, we break it down very transparently. We tell you the weight, we tell you your payout, we tell you our fees. But I don't think other places do that. So that would be the next thing. Like, know your value, be informed. Gold is a commodity. The prices are there. So don't let anyone tell you that, you know, it's not valuable.
I actually had somebody on that ran a pawn shop. And he says the reality is most people come in and sell things at a pawn shop, typically in desperation. And a lot of times when you're looking at a watch or gold itself, he goes, if it's just gold coins and things like that, he goes, you know what? They're getting 95% of the value. Okay. But if they're selling a gold watch, there's the value of the watch, the gold and all that stuff. Sometimes the gold makes the watch more worth more than what it really is. And he says, and that causes a predicament. And sometimes the quality of the watch with scratches and stuff like that won't get there. But he says, it's just very, very interesting. He says, if anybody charges any more than 5 or 10% as a commission or a fee, because then they're way out of the ballpark and you really got to look around.
I mean, if they're running a pawn shop with that, I would go there. Because what I've seen is most pawn shops would offer like 30 to 50% max.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got lucky.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's different when somebody comes on the show, they're very well vetted and they actually have a great reputation and they take care of people every well. And if it's a pawn shop, they're very, very, very successful, which means they have a high volume.
Exactly. I think that's a good place then. That's a good place to go.
And I think that's great that you say ask questions, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, they're just walking in the net. The person's the first time and they're doing a quick transaction. If it's something that's worth significant amounts of money, you really need to know who you're dealing with. And that's why Unvault makes a lot of sense, where you can actually get somebody to give you a valuation right there.
Exactly. And again, what we thrive on is this data and a lot of information. And we're a small team, but we'll get back to you, right? We might not get back to you in like 15 minutes or an hour, but we'll get back to you if you have questions. Because I think that is the most valuable thing of running a company, is talking to your customers. Mm-hmm. So every question helps us learn. Every question helps us get better.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's great because you have one place that people can consistently go to. Because I'll say this, one of the things that I really remember from that interview was he said, he goes, you know what, if people don't have a positive experience, mean they realize they gave up a whole ton in selling their stuff, they're not going to come back. But if you take care of them the first time, you're going to take care of them the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, because they will keep coming back. And that's basically what you're doing too.
Exactly. 49% of our revenue is all repeat.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something. Our customers come back to us. And they come back to us in a very, very good volume. So I'm absolutely with you, Steve, that, you know, this industry looks like a very one-off transaction that you try to get as much as out as possible of a customer. Mm-hmm. But we have taken a different spin on it. We want gold to be an asset. We want people to understand, and we want people to come back. That's mm-hmm. why you want a good first experience and then the good second experience.
That's great. Nidhi, here's the big question. Many people ask, when does it make sense to sell? And when does it make sense to hold your jewelry as an asset? And I'm not trying to tell you to give everybody financial advice, but you've been around the block
a little
bit.
That's the $1 million question.
Just asking what your personal experience is. And folks, you want to look at your own personal spirits when he's talking here, okay?
Steve, I promise I'll answer the question. But first, I think before we get there, know the value. That's what I'll start with. The timing can be today, the timing can be tomorrow, the timing can be never. But I think it all starts with understand the value of what you own and try to track it with the market. Gold has gone down 10%, close to 10% this month. So we're like, that's a big drop, right? And your jewelry and your gold holdings have been impacted. If you don't know the value, and if you are not tracking it, you are just, you know, not using the information that's available to you correctly. So it starts with knowing the value, and Unvault can be an amazing tool there. It is for you. It is completely free to use. It takes 60 seconds. Please, like, you know, take evaluations from the comfort of your home. Now, when to sell, it is definitely a personal decision. Gold is still in the higher territory. As I mentioned, it has gone down this month, but it is still in the all-time high territories. So if you think that you want money right now and this is the best decision for you, then I think it makes sense. But if not, then you know, you can always figure out the trend a little bit, wait for it, or just look at some of the data that is going to come next. It's, again, it's like any other financial instrument. And if you treat it that way, I think we can make good decisions. Like, think of it as stocks or, you know, anything valuable that you own. You'll do your research. Mm-hmm. So similar to that, like, I think it's good to bring that view to gold as well.
So I just
very long way of saying that no financial advice, but get your data and think about it the way you would think about like your stocks and equities.
So here, think about this, folks. If you purchased gold 5 years ago today, gold was at $1,951 an ounce. That was the spot price. If you ended up selling that in, say, February of 2026, it would have been $5,200. So almost 120, 25% higher than what it was before. If you sold it now, you would still get 100% more than what you actually had five years ago. And if you held it even longer, let's say you had gold that, you know, somebody gave you back in 2000. Gold in 2000 was $289 an ounce. Is that nuts? And then, you know, you come here and you're looking at, you know, what is that, 20, 30 times what you had? It's nuts. So, you know what? You have to determine when's the best time for you to sell something like that. Or are you going to hold on to that asset thinking it's going to go higher? It's your call. But, you know, at the spot price of gold, you used to hedge these things. So you know that all the junk that's going on right now, the 10-year treasury and all that kind of stuff play into that. Also, what foreign countries are doing with the, you know, their 10-year treasuries or their treasuries, are they liquidating and buying gold? Because if they are, gold's going to go up. If they're liquidating that gold and buying 10-year treasuries, because that's going up, that's different too. So a whole bunch of stuff is going into that. So you can't really say, I'm going to time this market. It's going to keep going up. But you really want to see when's the best time to sell for you. I mean, obviously, if you need the money, it's a great source of liquidation. By all means, hey, Don't go starve, you know, liquidate it. Okay. So now one of the things I want to chat with you here about is this. What's the first step somebody should take if they want to understand actually what they have? Okay. And the reason why I'm saying that is I've got a number of emails from people where they've gone into a store at the mall or a pawn shop, and they said, okay, this is gold plated. This is this. This is that. I'll give you this much for it. Okay. How do you know? What should they? What's the first step somebody should do?
I think the first step is look at the hallmark, right? Try to find that etching on the piece. Does it say anything like a 750, 485? That will tell you what that metal purity is. To your point, Steve, like, is it plated or not, right? So that is the information you can get very easily by looking at the piece.
Mm-hmm.
The second step is use Unvault. Once you have that information, you don't really have to go to a pawn shop or store. Just use Unvault. If you have a kitchen weighing scale, even better. Put it on that scale and take a photo and put it in Unvault, and we'll do the math for you. So I would say start with the figuring out the purity if you have no idea what the piece is. And then second is use Unvault.
So here's the other thing. When they're looking for that mark on that gold, where is it typically? Where do they typically stamp it?
So if it's a necklace, bracelet, it's typically on the hook.
Okay.
And if it's a ring, it's typically at the back of it. So like the inside portion of it, it's typically there.
The inside back that goes underneath the bottom of your finger.
Exactly. And it will be numbers. And even on Unvault, you'll see there's a good key to decode those numbers.
Oh, I see.
So it'll be either numbers like 14K, 18K, or the numbers will be 585, 750, 925 for silver.
Okay, so if it's 95%, what does it look like?
For gold?
Yeah.
I think it'll be around 22 carat.
Okay, so so if it's 100, it's 24 carats?
That's right.
Okay.
Normally, we don't have jewelry, which is 24 carat.
Okay, so when I got my wedding ring, they just charged us the gold spot price at that time.
Okay.
And basically, they made it out of 95% gold.
Oh, wow.
So I was looking at that stamp you told me about, I go, okay, there it is.
Yeah. And that's amazing. That has done really well, because if it's 95% gold, then all the appreciation numbers that you were talking about, you had that completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't really sell my wedding ring, so I have a wife that would probably hit me in the head with a pan.
You're holding the asset.
Okay, so the first step is to take the pictures. If you have a sale, great. And then they're uploading those. How quickly do they get something back?
60 seconds.
So 60 seconds, you can go, hey, this ring weighs this much. It has this percentage of gold. It's going to be this price.
That's right. Most of our customers do over 4 items.
Okay.
Once they start, they get interested, they get intrigued, they do the second, the third, and the fourth item. And normally they figure out there are 2 items that they don't want going forward. So it's either something gifted that, you know, they've grown out of. It's a broken earring, broken necklace, right? Because again, gold is a soft material. It can break, but it does not lose value.
Mm-hmm.
That is the beauty of gold. It does not lose value, even if it's broken. So those are the things that they try us with for the first time. And then they have an amazing experience. And then they go in digging in their jewelry drawer and their jewelry box and find a bunch of other things.
No, that's wonderful, because I'm just remembering many of the emails I got were like, you know, I got 2 or 3 things I never wear. And this one came from so-and-ho. I can't believe they got it for me, but it's gold. So, okay.
Yeah.
And you know, it was just stuff like that. I'm like, that's so funny, because you just said they want to get rid of 2 of them. I'm like, oh, no, some people want to get rid of more. And the funny thing is some of the rationale somebody used, I don't wear it. I never wear it. I was going to give it to so-and-so, but they don't really care about it anymore. So why?
It's a funny thing. Again, like, you know, people tell us that my great-grandmom gave this to me. My grandmom never wore it. My mom never wore it. Why should I ever think of wearing it? So I'd much rather get value out of it.
Yeah, I only had about 20 of them say it was just ugly and they don't ever want to wear it.
Oh, yes, exactly. I mean, styles have completely changed, right? And if you don't want to wear it, your daughter does not want to wear it at all. And definitely your daughter-in-law does not want to wear it.
Oh, that's funny. It's like one of those gifts. They're like, oh, thank you so much. So,
There's also some stigma on it, right, Steve? That it's inheritance, it's an heirloom. But the way I think about it, it's right? Like there is a lot of feeling and emotion around it. But if you need the money, it is also a very good asset. And I'm sure your family would have wanted you to use it if you need the money.
Oh yeah, no, I totally understand that. I just think it's fun when you listen to people's excuses of what they want to get rid of and why. It's just very interesting because people rationalize it out. So, folks, you do want to stick with us. We're having a fun conversation with Ninhi, and we'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. We're getting right back to it. We're talking about that wealth you have sitting in your jewelry box or your drawer. And I have Nidhi Singhvi here. She's the co-founder of OnVault. And you know what? It's just been really cool to talk about the jewelry that you have sitting in your drawer and how much it's worth. And it's been fun to find out how people are like, don't wear this. This was given to me. It was freaking ugly. So why would I want to, you know, here we go. So, and the other thing that's very interesting is learning about the markups that people sell things at, the appraisals, how they just aren't the true value because they're designed for insurance and replacement. The other nice thing that we realized is if you're selling to, depending on whether to be a pawn shop or a retail outlet at a mall, if you're selling to them, they have certain percentages that they need to resell it at, which means you might not be getting the best deal you're thinking of. And you know, when you started talking about how do you know if it's 95, 75%, 50%, you know, how to put it, I have no clue what 12 and 14 karat mean. Okay. Most people don't either. So I think that was very cool for you to say 95%. That's, you know, you're looking at 22% gold. That's pretty solid. That's pretty much what you're seeing on a spot price. So you know what are some of the other things that Nidhi that people would need to know? And then what I'd like to do is, hey, how can people contact your firm? Is there a phone number, email? Is there a website? All that kind of good stuff.
Sounds good. Yes. I think, again, Steve, just wrapping up, but you might have 10 pieces of jewelry. You might have two, right? We all have different backgrounds, different demographics. Whatever it is, I would say know the value of those pieces because gold is truly a superior asset. So let's start there. Let's understand the value and let's build a portfolio. Like, you know, I want to call Unwold the Robin Hood for jewelry. So let it be the Robin Hood of your jewelry and let us help track it. So the way to start is www.unwold.co. You can start with a few photos. We'll give you the evaluation. If you have any questions, if you want to change something, our email is contact@unwold.co. Drop us a note and we'll get back to you.
That's wonderful. Hey, folks. One of the nice things that Nidhi said was whether you want to track it or sell it, they'll help. The worst thing you can do is find out what things are valued. If you decide you want to sell it, you're going to get a good deal. So I just want to share that with you all because I think that's really important. You know what? Obviously, if somebody gets it valued, you're going to send them a report that says, here's how much it's valued. If you want to sell it, here's our price. Let us know if you want to do this. And that's kind of the size of it. Now, how often do people come back and kind of check the value?
Right now, once a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Our power users are power users. So what they do is they get rid of everything that they don't want, and they keep the pieces that they really like,
mm-hmm.
and they track it.
Okay.
So sorry, folks, if you are one of our trackers, I know gold has gone down, but it's okay. It there's light at the end of this tunnel, hopefully.
I never thought you'd say weekly, but I'm going to bet people are, it's like they watch their stocks like a hawk, and then they watch it every single day. And I guess you can do that weekly too. So
they're doing their also like either adding things to their portfolio. So yeah, right now it's becoming a great habit, which I really love.
Well, so one of the cool things I just thought of, and I should have thought of it earlier, is if you're looking to buy a piece of gold from a friend or a family member or something like that, you know what? It wouldn't be a bad idea to have it valued before you purchase it, so you can make sure you're getting the deal.
100%. People, when they're buying from eBay, they normally use Unworld to just like evaluate the piece. So we have all of these eBay photos also that we get. That's what we're able to say. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a resource, right? Like you can triangulate as much as you can before.
Yeah, no, you definitely want to do that, because there's, I'm bet there's thousands and thousands of thousands of millions of times where people went and purchased things thinking they got a deal, and then they realized they didn't get a deal. Mm-hmm. They actually didn't do well at all. So it would be very, very important. Folks, if you
want to
find out how much your gold is worth, how much your silver is worth, your jewelry, your coins, all that kind of stuff, go to unvault.com.
Dot co.
I'm sorry. Unvault.co. Todd, you're listening. I know you're going to edit that out. So unvault.co. Please go check that out. Hey, there's nothing wrong with getting on there and start checking and checking to see the value of your assets, because gold is an asset class. So Nidhi, I want to thank you so much for being here today. This has been wonderful. It's actually been a lot of fun for me. With that, I'm going to let you go. All you have to do is sign off, and we'll look forward to seeing it possibly next time on Saving with Steve, because I have a feeling people are going to say, can I see that again? Can we talk to her again?
Amazing.
And by the way, please let Karen know, once you guys start dealing with watches and things like that, or diamonds, I would love you back, because we have a lot of people are asking. I mean, I have like a 800-900 emails on, what about my gems?
Amazing. We do diamonds right now as well, Steve, so that's all good. And we do gold watches as well, but nothing, no other watches. Yeah.
Just gold watches, and
just
you do diamonds.
Watches.
Okay.
Right.
So is it the same thing? Just take a picture?
Exactly.
And they could tell the clarity and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. So we will look for your input on that. Any certificate you have, we can read the certificate. So if you have a GIA, IGI certificate, just upload it. If you have a receipt, just upload it, like link. Because with diamonds, it's a bigger purchase. So normally people have something. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do normally. Just give us all the data you have, and then we have our own pricing engine. And we are also based in Diamond District.
Okay.
So that's why we can get you the best price for diamonds.
So when it comes to the watches, okay, I know people sell them. They're worried about, you know what, you might be worried about watches that came from nefarious situations.
Yeah.
Are people required to provide the box, the papers, and all that kind of stuff?
So, yes. And also, whenever you sell anything with us, you do an attestation that you're 18 years and above, the item belongs to you. So we do all of these processes beforehand. And then, yes, if you want to get the advantage of the brand premium, yes, we need the box and everything as well to go with it. Because you can sell us a Van Cleef ring, right? But you need all of those details around it that proves that it's Van Cleef.
Okay, so it is what it is. Okay,
yes.
Perfect. Hey, thanks
all
again for joining us. You have a wonderful day. And I definitely want to see you next time.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
Now, one of the big things I want to talk about here today is this. Just a week or so ago, we had the jobs report, and it was solid. 172,000 jobs added in the month of May, well above the consensus, meaning the actuaries and economists that were predicting. On the surface, the labor markets continue to show resilience. But let's kind of look beneath that. U.S. personal savings rate has basically collapsed to about 2%. That's the third percentile of its historic distribution. That means people are saving in the smallest amount they've saved for a very long time. Folks, this is not a minor dip. It's a structural breakdown in household finance health. Okay? We are in the opposite of the fix the roof when the sun is shining, since real gross domestic product has been running above potential unemployment, and unemployment is below 4.5%, yet Americans are drawing down savings to maintain consumption. That means people are buying gas, food, and all that stuff because they have to. This is not confidence-driven spending. This is inflation compensating spending, which means they have to. Both the U.S. and U.S. consumers are now highly leveraged into continued economic expansion. Okay, that you've seen the economy, you've seen inflation. This leaves very little room for error should there be a downturn in the economy. This is why I view the current labor market with caution rather than comfort. The data looks solid, but the underlying consumer issues, that balance sheet, doesn't. Folks, once again, the time to make plans when you are still in control. Think about this. You still have a job. Best time to find a job. When you're trying to find a job, when you've been fired or don't have one or laid off, you got a bit of desperation. Doesn't always turn out. The thing to know is when to exit, where the exits are, and you're doing it when you're in control. The time to know when to exit, meaning the job market, is before havoc happens, like you're getting fired. The time to plan is when you have control, and this is what you want to be doing right now, okay? When something happens, you don't want to be scrambling for an exit. You need to take a look at your thing. And this is why I want to take a quick minute and talk to you about an exit strategy. How many out there have a written exit strategy? I mean, just figure this. You're at work. You have a routine fire drill. The alarm sounds, ding, 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 ding. We follow a clear path. Everyone exits calmly to a safe point. Now imagine applying same calm, rehearsed approach to the moments when markets become volatile, when you're living on investment income. Retirees relying on investment income face a double risk because market downturns can erode principal just when you need to withdraw, and withdrawal timing can amplify your taxation issues, your income challenges, because you're withdrawing when your values are lower, which means you're cannibalizing the asset. The goal isn't to chase every headline, but to protect your income and preserve your capital. So how do we go about doing that? Okay, so let's talk about that. First, simple exit plan written, three parts to it. First, primary exit. This is what you're doing. You're looking at it saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to maintain my current allocation, withdrawal plans, unless clear, single say to adjust. Then you have a backup exit when predefined shifts to lower volatility assets when conditions worsen. Three, safe meeting points, a targeted allocation, a liquidity reserve to cover essential expenses for 1 to 2 years. And now here comes the practical elements that you really want to be focused on. Preset withdrawal rules. What are your results that keep your spending steady while you're protecting your portfolio? A cash short-term reserve to cover essential living costs, healthcare, and emergencies. This is the next one's biggie. When you talk about your primary exit and backup exit, what are the triggers for when you make those changes? Is it the market downturns? Do you have a threshold where the market goes down 10 or 15%, or these volatility spikes? Or is it upcoming large expenses, medical bills, and stuff like that? Folks, it doesn't have to be complex. Your exit plan should be simple and written. What do you yourself have in place to ensure, like when that balloon that's been floating around Wall Street pops, you know exactly how to react? Folks, I want to thank you for joining us here on Saving with Steve. And with that, we'll look forward to talking with you next week. Stay safe, stay healthy. This is Steve Sexton signing off with Saving with Steve. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton on UK Health Radio.